Now, please get your Bibles and turn them to the book of Psalms, and we will read Psalm 61. Psalm 61. We will read the entire chapter. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may God himself add his divine blessing to it. Last week, I asked Amelia Scott about her favorite verse or favorite passage in the Bible, and she gave me two: Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and Psalm 61, the passage that we just read in our scripture reading. Well, this evening, to make your public profession of faith more memorable, I have decided to preach on Psalm 61. And Psalm 61 can be divided into four sections. First, here you see David's problem. Second, David's prayer. And third, David's peace and David's praise. So four things: problem, David's problem, his prayer, his peace, and his praise. Those four points will be our main points in this message. So let's consider, first of all, David's problem. David opens this psalm by expressing his burden. Look at what he says in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. This is a cry that arises from deep burden, from deep distress. This is a prayer of a burdened, troubled soul crying out for help. Now remember the context of this psalm. Remember that when David wrote this psalm, his son Absalom drove him away from his home and throne in Jerusalem. If you recall, Absalom was David's third son, and he became rebellious, so rebellious to his father David. In fact, Absalom revolted against his own father, and his revolt was so successful that David found it necessary to quit Jerusalem and flee to Mahanaim beyond Jordan. And it was there, beyond Jordan, that David wrote this psalm. And now, since David was no longer in Jerusalem, Absalom declared or proclaimed himself to be the new king of Israel. And he was not content with that. Now he wanted to find his father, to kill him. Imagine that. Your own son wants to kill you. And with this, we now understand the meaning of the word cry in verse 1. Now, somehow we can understand why David makes such a prayer to God. Hear my cry, O God. Imagine the intensity of David's problem here. It is a family problem. His own son wants to end his life. In fact, in verse 2, David goes on to say, look at verse 2. He says, from the end of the earth, I call to you. Now, he says that because he is not in Jerusalem. So what he's saying is, I am calling to you, O God, I am praying to you, not in my own home in Jerusalem, but here beyond Jordan, away from my home. When my heart is faint. The Hebrew word for faint means properly to cover us with darkness or calamity. And so the meaning here is this. Darkness or calamity covered or enveloped David's soul so much so that he saw no light. He had no comfort as he was away from his home, as he was running away from his son who wanted to kill him. He really felt so overwhelmed. So overwhelmed. Well, maybe you can relate to David here. Maybe you have your own family problem. Maybe between you and your son there is a problem. Or between you and your daughter. Or maybe between you and your spouse, there is a problem. And you know how it is. A family problem can drain you emotionally, mentally. It can weaken you. It can take a lot of energy from you. David here is so heavy-hearted, so weary. His heart is faint. But as one song says, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. And this is precisely what David did. He came to God. He told God about his burden, about his sorrow, about his distress, about his problem. And so that will lead me to my second point. His prayer. Now look at his prayer here in verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What a beautiful prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here, David realizes his need for help. And now he comes to his realization that he needs someone to help him. Someone who is higher than he is. Someone who is mightier than he is. Someone who is stronger than he is. someone who is more powerful than he is. Now remember, who was David? He was king. The most powerful person in his land. Although, like what I said, his own son dethroned him. He was no longer king. But he was still king of Israel because his son was only a self-proclaimed king. He was powerful. This is David who killed Goliath, who won many victories, many battles against their enemies. But now he comes to his realization that he needs someone who is higher than he is to help him. So he says, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to that rock where I can be safe. Put me in a place of safety. Because right now, I don't feel safe. My own son is looking after me, wanting to kill me. And I am so exposed to my enemies. So prone to be killed by my enemies. I don't have defense. I don't have strength. I don't have power to protect myself against my enemies. And so, Lord, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, where I can be safe. And so, really, this is a prayer of dependence on God. Now, let's admit it is our nature to depend on our own strength. We have a problem. We want to solve that problem on our own, not asking God's help. Unfortunately, it is when we are standing at that maybe a dead-end place at the corner when we begin to realize that we need God. So David is like there, standing at the corner, nowhere to go. He can only look up and pray to God, Lord, hear my cry. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's why, in a sense, it's good for us to experience trials, sufferings in life, because that's when we learn to pray more to God. And so David says to God, I need you, for you are my rock. Place me in you, for outside you there is no security and safety. Elsewhere, David prays to God. Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Oh God, put me in a cleft of the rock and cover me there with your hand. One of my favorite songs is this one by Fanny J. Crosby, A Wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Practically, that's the prayer of David here. Lord, hide me in the cleft of the rock of ages. Let me hide myself in that rock of ages. And then David continues to pray to God. Look at verses 3 and 4. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Now, this is quite fascinating, his prayer here in verse 4. Let me dwell in your tent forever. You know, the context, he was no longer in Jerusalem, where the tent was or the tabernacle was. He was not there. He was beyond Jordan. Now he was longing to be in the tent of the Lord. But since he says here, forever, surely he was not thinking of the physical tabernacle, physical tent, which was a symbol of God's presence. Now, his prayer goes beyond that. Now he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like what we read in Psalm 23. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Now he longs to be with the Lord. To commune with Him. You could imagine how lonely David was. Away from his home. Away from his family. And perhaps he was by himself. Or maybe he had some of his soldiers, loyal soldiers guarding him. But he could not be by himself. He could, that is to say, he could not be just walking around outside wherever he was hiding. That was a lonely situation. And so now he said, Lord, I want to dwell in your tent. I want you. I want your presence. I don't really want to be back in my palace, but I want to be in your place. I want to be with you. And then he goes on to say, let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, as young birds take refuge under the wings of the parent bird. So that's David's prayer here. Lord, hide me under your wings. Now, of course, ultimately, and I have indicated this already as I was going through this, ultimately, the rock here in Psalm 61 refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the rock of ages. David wants to be put on that rock, on the solid rock, on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is higher than David himself. As one commentator said, we need one much higher than we are to save us, a Savior, a Redeemer. On the same level with ourselves could not help us. We must have one that is supreme over all things, one that is divine. And may I remind all of us that for us to experience safety and security in this life, we need someone who is higher than we are. Because the truth is, we cannot save ourselves. We have a far greater problem that we face. Yes, David was facing a big problem here. His son wanted to kill him. His son, his own son, became his enemy. But we have a far greater enemy, Satan, the devil. And only Jesus can deliver us from the power of the devil. We need this rock that is higher than we are. And once you are hidden in the cleft of that rock, you will experience peace. And that's what we see here in David. And that will also lead me to my third point, David's peace. Now that David is on the rock higher than he is, he feels safe. He feels peaceful. Now that he is hidden in the clefts of the rock, now he has this peace that passes all understanding. Now that he is under the wings of God, under God's protection, now he has this serenity, peace under his wings. Oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. And really, this is our comfort. If we are hidden in the clefts of the rock, you know, we know that no one can touch us. No evil can harm us. Of course, without God's permission, God may allow that to happen to us. But even that, we know that whatever happens to us inside that rock, it is only for our good and for God's glory. And so we have that safe inside the rock of ages. And you know, that's what prayer does. Because think about this. At this time, Absalom was still alive. He was not yet defeated. He was still outside Jerusalem. He was still beyond Jordan. But because he cast all his cares upon God, in return, he experienced peace. You know, we often sing that song by Joseph Scriven, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How often we carry that needless pain. We don't need to carry that pain. We don't need to carry that burden, whatever burden you have, that family problem that you have. God does not want you to carry it. God says, cast it upon me and I will give you peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. Take everything to God in prayer. You know, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, it became his practice that before he would go to bed, he would say to God, "Okay, God, I give all my worries to you. Now help me to sleep well." And how often we are not able to sleep well because we try to carry that burden. We bear that problem. When in fact, God says, cast them all upon me. Let me take care of that. And I will give you peace so you can sleep. After all, it is beyond your power. You need me to help you. You know, what is ironic is this. David did not find peace in his own son. When in fact, his son's name means father of peace. The name Absalom comes from two Hebrew words. Absalom, so Ab, like Abba, so father. Ab, father. And then Salom, it comes from the Hebrew word Shalom, which is peace. So when you combine the two, Ab, Shalom, father of peace. But David did not find peace in Absalom, in the father of peace. Instead, he found trouble, not tranquility. Instead of finding peace, he found pressure from in his son. Instead of finding serenity, he found sorrow. Instead of finding rest, he found distress. Why? Because true peace only comes from that rock that is higher than we are. True peace comes from the rock of ages, from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And so if we do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no peace. Outside Jesus, outside that rock, there is no peace. And think about this. One of our problems in this world is that people live outside the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the trouble around this world. No peace. Because there is no Christ. And so what we need to do is come to this Rock of Ages. Ask God, Lord, please place me on that rock that is higher than I. I want to experience peace. And so my question to you this evening is this. Where are you standing right now? On what kind of rock are you standing? On the rock of your own self, which someday will fall down, or on this solid rock, on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have Jesus Christ? Where do you find yourself right now? Are you on that rock that is higher than you are? Or maybe your life is below that rock. If that's the case, then you don't have protection. You don't have safety against the devil. And my comfort to you, Amelia, since this is your life verse, remember the rock that is higher than you are. Whenever trial comes to you, ask God, Lord, again and again, please lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Because as we have sung, we have this tendency to flee away from that rock, to wander away from that rock. And so we really need to be praying this every day. Lord, keep me on that rock. I don't want to go away from that rock. I want to stand there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Help me, Lord, to stand still on that rock that is higher than I. And indeed, we can be still. You know, God says to us, be still and know that I am God. Once we stand on that rock, we can experience that quietness, peace with God. Now, this psalm ends with praise. And this is my last point. Look at verse 8, please. So will I ever sing praises to your name. Like many psalms, Psalm 61 opens with prayer and ends with praise. And this is a biblical sequence. For prayer begets a confidence in God that expresses itself in praise and is answered by acts of God to which praise is the right response. You see that all over again. David will begin with his problem, and then he will then bring that problem to the Lord in prayer. He will then experience peace, and he will end with praise with God. He will end with doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Our life should end with praise with God. Our song should end with to God be the glory tone. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. And indeed, the Lord has done many wondrous things to us. And the proper response is to praise Him, to glorify Him forever and ever and ever. And I say to you, Amelia, I pray that at the end of this day, this will be the end. Doxology, that you will praise God for for he has done many great things to your life. He has saved you. He has given you salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given you a wonderful family. Thank God for that. And all of us, think of all the blessings that we have. If you are in Christ, you have peace. Thank God for that. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much indeed for that rock that is higher than we are. And we thank you for placing us on that rock, that solid rock, the rock of all ages. And therefore, we cannot be moved. We cannot be shaken. Yes, Satan will try to shake us, but since we stand on that solid rock, we will endure until the end. Oh, we thank you, O God. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.